Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, October 1st, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Tripp Watson, and after he reads, we'll have a time where he and I will sit down together and talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Tripp, for joining the podcast today.
1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Christ. To those who are elect exiles of the dispersion of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through the faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith and salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that is to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all of its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Now turning to Psalm 122, let us go to the house of the Lord, a song of ascents of David. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. There thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Now we're looking at Daniel 3, Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace." Thereafter, as soon as all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews who have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that would deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it usually was heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see 4 men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace. He declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of these men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and set aside the king's command and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins, for there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
Thank you so much, Tripp, for being a part of the podcast today. We want to hear a little bit more about you. Tell us about yourself and your family.
Glad to be here. My family, you've probably heard from Kristen, who did the reading almost a year ago now. She's my wife. We've been married since 2013. We have one little boy, Robert, who just turned 2, and then we've got another one on the way that by the time this comes out will be pretty close on the horizon for us.
I want to hear a little bit more about Robert. Tell me about his personality, maybe what he's into.
So Robert's our firstborn. He's just turned 2 years old. And I guess I'm one of those parents that never really treated him like a baby. Is he's kind of one of these kids that, you know, basically as soon as I could throw him onto the bed, I was seeing how far I could throw him onto the bed, how high I could throw him onto the bed. And this kid has no fear, does not feel pain, and would just giggle the whole time. And so even today, I'll see how far up in the air I can throw him, and he'll crash back onto the bed, and he's immediately popping back up and giggling. And if you know him, he's got these really tight little blonde curls, and every single time he falls down and bounces off the bed, they vibrate like springs.
Tripp, your work has always been very interesting to me. I want you to tell the people who are listening to the podcast what you do, what you love about your job, maybe some of the challenges it presents.
Sure. So I am a lawyer that deals mainly with entrepreneurs. So about 95% of our clients are folks that have started businesses or at some point in that process. And what was kind of challenging about it was that I started my own law firm. When I first started out of law school, started my own practice. And so I know a lot of the same issues that they're dealing with because I've had to go through it myself. And so we help a lot of folks. It's a lot of counseling. It's a lot of business and legal counseling and a lot of personal counseling sometimes.
I know you're very busy in this season with Robert being a toddler and also one on the way, but what are some fun things you like to do if you have free time?
So I've gotten primarily into some biking lately. I've started getting into a little bit of mountain biking, but a lot of what I've done, one of my big hobbies is photography. So I've always taken photos, videos, and just like memorializing things by taking photos and videos when I can.
And before the podcast, we were talking about you shoot a lot of videos for your work. If we wanted to go online to see those, how would we get access?
If you want to check that out, it's on the Watson Firm YouTube. So you can check that out if you're so inclined.
I always like to hear how those who are on the podcast came to faith. Will you tell me about your journey with the Lord?
Absolutely. So my experience was pretty typical. I grew up in church. My parents were always very involved. We were at Sunday school every single Sunday. And so I grew up in the church, eventually came to Mountain Brook Baptist, and I started coming here when I was probably about 5 or 6 and very much grew up in Mountain Brook Baptist Church and ultimately made the decision when I was in junior high to accept Christ into my life. And then that's kind of a typical story. Where it kind of diverged a little bit is when I went to college, started learning some more things and started growing and maturing in my faith. And so definitely have had some different experiences than some, but always have found a way to keep coming back to Mountain Brook Baptist. I think one of the more interesting things was when I was in law school and I first started dating my now wife, Kristen. I, at the time, was not a very good regular church attender, but she was. And one of the places that she found herself was at Mountain Brook Baptist Church. And so she was actually the one that brought me back into the proverbial fold. So
it's amazing. I'm so grateful that Kristen started coming here and that the Lord had brought you up in this place. We're grateful for your service and Kristen's service among us. I want to know, is there a time or a situation where you saw the hand of the Lord work?
Yeah, two big situations that picked out. The first one was in the loss of my father. My father was a very big influence in my life, like most people's fathers are. My dad was a deacon here at the Mountain Brook Baptist Church, and he got diagnosed when I was in law school with a terminal brain tumor. And so seeing the way that he spent his life once he received effectively this is the, you know, kind of putting a label on it, this is the thing that's going to kill you, That was very much, I saw immediately one of the things that, you know, they always say, nobody ever sits on their deathbed and says, I would have worked harder. But he very much turned to Christ. He became much more religious. And for somebody that was even a deacon at the time, that he dove that much, or had been a deacon in the past, I should say, had dove that much more into it. So that was definitely a definitive period. The second time was when Kristen and I struggled with infertility for years, when we were trying to have our firstborn. And through that whole process, we struggled and tried to have conceive. And it was such a frustrating process that finally when it happened, we realized how amazing this whole experience is. And it was almost like we had been primed to appreciate it more than we would have probably otherwise. And so it was through both those situations that we gathered depth to our journey and saying how God worked in our lives.
Was there anything that stuck out to you in the scriptures today that you would want to make comment on?
Yeah, one of the things that I always struggle with is the very concept of faith. We're dealing with people that lived 2,000 years ago. And we wake up every day and we hear about, you know, fake news and misinformation and things like that. It's hard for us to find faith in anything. And I thought Peter was interesting in the way that he leads off this letter, basically addressing what could be doubt and faith by saying that he's writing to people that never would have met Christ, that probably would never even have met anybody that had actually met him at that point. And so to have that level of faith, only a few years, relatively speaking, removed from the events of the original Gospels, it provides a little bit of strength for me to have that context on somebody that, even in that close temporally to everything, they were still having doubts about what was going on. And here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still dealing with a lot of those same doubts and insecurities.
Thank you for joining the podcast today. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Absolutely. Lord, thank you so much for this time that you've given us. Thank you so much for the time to dig into your word, the opportunity to dwell on what you're trying to tell us in this scripture. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. I know that it's easy to wake up every day and to get into our routine, start making the coffee, start making breakfast, but I really appreciate the times that we're given that we can step back and realize the little things that are beautiful in our lives. I want to thank you for those, because we know that all good things come from you. And it's your attempt to put those in front of us, to show us those opportunities for beauty and joy in our lives. So as we look forward, this is coming out on a Friday, so through the weekend and through the next week, but regardless, whenever you're listening to this, I hope that we will all pray that we have those opportunities to see the beauty and the joy that you're trying to present to us, and that we will have the opportunities to appreciate those when they come to pass. So it's in your name that we pray. We love you.